Good morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 396-0577 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John, how you doing?
Melting
still.
But I mean, only it's 100 to 102 instead of 107 to 110.
Yeah, it's amazing how 5 degrees less in the triple digits feels a little bit better.
We're used to it.
We might eventually get back to double digits again. So, yeah, it has continued to be a barn burner out there. We are still trying to bring lots of bottled water with us when we go to show the properties. We have, of course, with us our in-house lender, Mr. Tom Coyne from Umpqua. Tom, how you doing?
You know, I'm feeling the effects of the heat. I feel like I'm always adjusting sprinkler heads. I'm dry over there now. Okay, let me get this adjusted. It's
yes.
Nonstop.
And for a lot of folks, when you only get to water 2 days a week now, you don't want your sprinkler head to be out of adjustment or that comes up very, very quickly. No, it's been a challenge for sure with the water and keeping things wet. And I was over on the west side last weekend for the 4th, and that is probably the driest I've even seen it over there. Mm-hmm. So it's you definitely see why we have the drought going on and the temperatures haven't helped. But keep a close eye on that water. We talked a lot last week about that. And we will find a way to make it through.
You know, I want to give a shout out to all the firefighters listening, too. You know, we were up at our property here this last week, and there were some fires that were fairly close to us, and it gets everyone really nervous. But they've responded quick, and I know they put out a number of small fires. There was one that was larger, 400 acres, but they got it contained. And I know those guys are working overtime when the rest of us are out with our family. So
yeah,
thank you.
Absolutely. Yeah, big shout out to the firefighters out there, and we like to do anything we potentially can. We run the Homes for Heroes mm-hmm. program, and anytime we get a chance to give back to that group of people, we definitely do. So thanks for keeping our family safe. Really appreciate that. So we always like to start off with a national property. This week, I pulled up an auction property from historicproperties.com. Pretty cool website you can go to. They run auctions of historic properties. And in Montour Falls, New York, on July 18th, there is going to be an absolutely sold bid on a 5,000-square-foot mansion that was built in 1873 by Albert Cook. Been operating as a bed and breakfast, but Tom, speaking of fires, there was a major fire there, but it's an all-brick structure. They were able to put it out quickly, and so you really just kind of have the shell, because they went in and did $70,000. ServPro went in, it said in the notes, did a $70,000 clean-out, trash-out, restoration, spray for mold through the property. So you've got a shell. It's right next to some beautiful waterfalls, and this is going to be sold by absolute auction. So kind of a different way to sell properties. We've talked about auction sales before on the show, but it's kind of cool to look and think 1873 that they're selling. I've never sold a property pre-1900s that I could think of. So
that's interesting.
So it's very cool to go check that out and take a look at it. So as we're getting ready for today's show, I always like to take comments and information that we're getting from people out in the community and make that into our topic and our show so we can answer some of those questions. And today's show, I kind of wanted to attack and take a look at Zillow and the Zestimate. So Zillow, for folks that don't know, is the number one trafficked home and listing data site on the web out there. So, for instance, last month they had 73 million unique visitors. So if you're not in that industry and don't know, they are the giant of that. That is a huge, huge number.
They are the Google of real estate.
That's it. That's exactly right. And so one of the things I wanted to go over is a lot of people, as it's become more popular, have started to use Zillow. Years ago, they started, and their mission was to take and make as much data as they possibly could public about homes and properties that they could. And so then they developed a system that was interactive where you can go in and correct data and enter information about your house. But one of the things that they became famous for is what they called the Zestimate. And that is what Zillow estimates the home's value is. And so that's a really, really interesting concept, because what they're using is they're using a complicated algorithm that economists and PhDs and people way smarter than me developed. What it's missing, though, is the local ingredient to that. But it's become so popular that a lot of people, I mean, I can't say how many times last week, that's why I brought it to the show topic, said, hey, I'm giving you a call because I'm getting ready to sell my house, and the Zillow says it's worth $190,000, so I already know what we should list it at. We're good to go. That's the call that I get a lot. And so I wanted to go over a little bit about what that is. And so that home valuation straight from Zillow's website says that it is an automatically computed three times per week. They say they update it three times per week based on millions of public data and user submitted data points. So they've developed this algorithm that uses assessor data, past sales data, neighborhood information that they've collected, census data, and they bring all this together and they pop out a value for your house. So to kind of start off the show, I thought, okay, before we have this topic, I should do some double checking in our local market, because Zillow says that nationally, they say that their Zestimate has a median error rate of 8.3%. They're really good at formulas and numbers, right? So they've been able to calculate with sold data what their error rate is, and it's 8.3%. And that's the median. So that's what we're looking at. So I took six sales. I took two from each city, six sales that I was personally involved with that I sold last month, and I said, let's look at what the house actually sold for versus the Zestimate and see where we're at in the Tri-Cities. So the first two in Pasco, the first one, 5512 Dundas Lane, we sold that for $152,900. West Pasco, great little property out there. The Zestimate, $150,855.
Wow, that's close.
I mean, right on the money. I mean, if that's the case, Lance Kenmore's out of business. You don't need me to give you a value on your property. So that one's really, really close, okay? Number two, 41 Jake Road out in Pasco. I sold it for $180,000. The Zestimate on that? $160,000. $20,000. Do you think those people are happy they gave us a call?
Yes, they are.
So in that case, Zestimate way $20,000, way different than the actual selling price. So then I went to Kennewick and checked out some properties there. 6302 West First Avenue. Sold for $215,000. Zestimate, though, $233,000. $18,000 more than the sold price. And I know that property very well, and I think we sold that right at market value. So Zestimate was, you know, 15 to 18,000 higher there. Second one I picked out in Kennewick, 1707 Shepherd. I sold it for $185,000. Zestimate, $280,000.
Wow.
Okay, so I sold that for $95,000 below what the Zestimate was. Now, this property needed some work. Mm-hmm. The lawn was burnt up on it. It had been let go, and there were some updates that it needed. So Zillow and their algorithm and their little robots, they don't know that. Mm-hmm. And so there's no way they could have gotten that Zestimate price for it. And then I got two more for Richland. 1807 Talon Court, we sold for $330,000. Zestimate on that was $353,000. So close, still 23,000 off, a little higher price range point, though. But that one runs right at that 8.3%, real close to that 8% number. We sold 1010 View Drive. This was a property we had had on the pick three here on the show. Real cool property right down on the Yakima River. Zestimate, $516,000. Sold price, $351,000.
Hmm.
Home needed a lot of updating. There needed to be a lot of work done there. And these are the types of things that Zillow doesn't know.
Well, they don't know the condition of the property.
Absolutely. So the condition, a lot of times what happens too is, say your neighborhood, there's a big difference between, and that's one of the things I was going to talk about. There's a big difference between, like, in Richland, South Richland, two neighborhoods that are popular, people might know, between Applewood and Westcliff. Mm-hmm. So very close in proximity, so within a quarter mile of each other, but one has amazing territorial views and one doesn't. Now, the statistical data, though, when you look around there, you would think was all the same. And so sometimes you might get higher values in Applewood on your Zestimate than you would, because it's basing comparable sales on stuff that's only a quarter mile away, but has a dramatically different view. So those are some of the things that do not get taken into effect. Now, not to just say that this is good, bad, or indifferent, because we have an automatic property valuation at kenmoreteam.com, and we use a very similar type of algorithm. And people, I mean, I get people all the time that are like, man, you really screwed up this evaluation. I went to your website and yeah, and it was terrible. You know, it was way off. And so we get those calls, and I'm always responding to those people saying, hey, this is just a computer right now, and there are a lot of factors that come into play. Part of our service is we offer a free market analysis where we'll come out, look at your property, take into account all those factors that the computer can't see, and then we'll shoot you back a value as we work on that. So that is some of the things that happens and what makes that product, you know, way off, or in some cases it's pretty close though. I always tell people, this is an estimate that we're starting with. It's a good gauge of value. It helps you see if the market's going up or down. But when it comes down to location, unique features, when we come back after the break, I'm going to talk about how do we go from having a Zestimate to getting to a market price and bringing all of that data together, because it does help. There's some great, great things about the Zestimate. So we're going to go over that when we come back from the break, and we're going to check in with Tom and Umpqua on exactly what's going on in the lending world.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. Our topic this week has been automatic property evaluations that you see online, kind of really digging into Zillow a little bit, the data that they use for that Zestimate, and then seeing how that relates to the actual property value that we see here in the Tri-Cities. As always, we like to get our lending update. The important part of this real estate transaction is where that money and loan is coming from. So, Tom, how are you doing?
You know, with today's show being all about pricing, I wanted to talk about what factors affect the pricing of an interest rate. And I think a lot of people don't realize what all goes into this, because they just call a lender, they see a commercial pop up on TV that flashes an interest rate, but that fine print is so small that they don't see all this other stuff that's actually built into this. So that's what I figured we'd talk about. Now, on any given day, I generally see around 8 to 10 different interest rate options for every single loan program we offer. Our rate sheet is, I want to say, 12 pages long. And it's because there's so many interest rates available for every single different loan that we offer. Now, for any of these programs, though, the lower you go in interest rate, the more client can expect in closing costs. Consequently, as you raise the interest rate and go up in rate, the lower your cost goes until they actually get to zero, where you have enough of a credit to go and offset all the third-party fees. Now, when I hear lenders say, no closing cost loan, which can get people into the door, a lot of times those clients don't realize that they're getting no closing costs because they're taking a higher interest rate. Or when I see a rate that's, say, far below what our market rate is, then the client's probably paying a lot in closing costs to get that. Now, par just means zero cost to the client, but also no credit. So it's kind of the best of both worlds, where below par is you're taking a lower interest rate, higher costs, and above par, you're taking a higher rate, lower costs. Now, when people ask me what's a current interest rate, I always say, how much do you want to pay in closing costs? Because that's what it's all about. It's finding that good mix of cost and rate. Now, before we select a rate over, say, an any other given rate, we always want to look at the break-even point. Now, let's say we're comparing these are just generic examples. I'm not quoting rates or anything. But let's say we're comparing a 30-year loan at 4.25% at par. And par, again, means zero extra cost for that. And we're considering going to a 4% interest rate. Now, let's assume that the 4% interest rate costs $2,000 more than the 4.25%. But by having the lower interest rate, you're saving $20 a month. So the break-even on that scenario is that you need to save your $20 a month for 100 months before you get your $2,000 back. So some people may look at that and say, well, I'm going to be here 30 years, so I'm going to take the lower interest rate. Other people may say, geez, I'd rather save my money today versus having to wait till the 101st month to save 20 bucks. And so every situation is different, but it's important to look at long term when you're selecting which rate and which costs to go with. It's just, in my own personal opinion, I don't like having to wait 100 months to break even. So many things change, and year over year over year, the national average of people staying in their houses, Lance, right around 7 years. Is that right?
Yeah, that's usually when we expect people to be calling, and a lot of times I even find it in five.
Right.
We start to get that phone call from clients we had 5 years ago. Hey, Lance, you sold me the house out here. We've got two more kids, and ready to upgrade, or we're changing jobs. So yeah, you're right in there, 5 to 7 years.
So if it's 5 to 7 years, the break even is not till 100. Well, the lender would have won by you paying that extra cost and taking that lower interest rate. So it's definitely a case by case basis, but we always like to sit down with our clients and go through those break even points and see, does it really make sense to take the lowest rate you can get? Because a lot of times that answer is no. Now, next thing I want to chat about are what's called loan level pricing adjustments, or LLPAs. Now, these are set by Fannie Mae, and they apply to all lenders out there. But LLPAs are essentially charges for risk factors such as credit scores, loan to value, property type, loan amount, and a few other factors. Now, let's say, assume someone's going to put 5% down on a 30-year loan, and they have a credit score of 740. Their loan level pricing adjustment at that is 0.25% of the loan amount. Now, let's say someone is, again, doing 30-year with 5% down, and they have a 680 credit score. Their loan level pricing adjustment isn't 0.25, it is 1.25. So in terms of cost, you can say that the person with the lower credit scores is going to pay 1% more in cost than the person with the higher credit scores. Now, that's based off a loan amount. So say if that 1% was a $200,000 loan, they just paid $2,000 more in costs. Now, though these loan level pricing adjustments act like fees, they're not generally passed on to the client as additional costs. They're actually built into the base rate that a lender offers you. So if you have lower credit scores and higher loan level pricing adjustments, it's going to result 9 times out of 10 in higher interest rates. Now, investment properties, another example of loan level pricing adjustments. Fannie Mae considers investment properties higher risk than owner-occupied properties. So there's an additional loan level pricing adjustment for investment properties. And the less you put down, the higher that is, because again, it's considered risk. So you can look at loan level pricing adjustments as a measure of risk. The lower risk you present to the lender or to Fannie Mae, the less those adjustments are going to be, which result in lower costs and lower interest rates. So every scenario is different. I'd love to chat with you about what pricing would look like on a loan for you, what rates, costs. If you have questions, feel free to reach out to me anytime and be happy to go over it.
Those are great, great points. And I really like how you explained the break-even point, because if you just get quoted a rate and that's all you're quoting on, you really have to run that full analysis to say, what type of closing costs did that rate include? And sometimes those sheets and looking at those costs and how much cash you bring to close, as we well know, can get very complicated. Mm-hmm. I mean, one of our biggest things is reviewing those, and, you know, we find mistakes here and there, and we're making those changes. So reviewing those numbers is, yeah, you're exactly right. That was a great way to explain it. It's not just the rate, but it's how much are you paying to get that rate.
Well, makes it even more difficult is that pricing changes sometimes multiple times a day, but definitely every day. And so what a rate costs today may be different than what it costs tomorrow. So it's definitely hard to keep up on all of it, but that's what we're here for.
Awesome, Tom. Thanks for that information. So before the break, we were talking a lot about the automatic property evaluations. You see them all over online. What's your house worth? We have one at the Kenmore team. Zillow has one. Trulia has one. HomeLight has one. All of these big sites that you see out there have that property evaluation. And I reckon to say I don't think any of them are as good as a local agent coming out and doing a full evaluation. So one of the things I just wanted to briefly touch on is what's the difference between that Zestimate and what you get when we're at the property and how we go about that process, because it is a piece that helps and we have to take it into account. When you have 73 million visitors to Zillow, you can bet that a buyer's going to go look at the Zestimate. You can bet a seller's going to look at the Zestimate. And so as you finalize your pricing, you have to be prepared to show why that price might be different, because it has become such a standard in the industry. One of the things that we do is we like to come out, do a personal property site visit, collect information about the property that you can't see from online. What does the property smell like? How many bedrooms are in there that were not listed on the assessor site? That data is not always accurate. Have there been any upgrades that weren't listed anywhere? Is there granite countertops now? So that information is really the last 20 to 30% difference that happens when we do that site visit. Then one of the things that I think as agents and people in the community that work in that profession that we're better at than the computers in Zillow is what really is a comp? Because within a half mile, there might be 22 sales. But of those 22, only 4 of them are really, truly comparables to the property you're trying to price. That means if I have a buyer looking for a 2-story, 2,400 square feet with the master on the main, and that is the house they're after, we are sorting through those 22 that are in that neighborhood they want to be at and saying, okay, there's really only 4. Well, that's a judgment call based upon a meeting you've had with a buyer. But that's really the market for that house, not the 22 total sales. So when you look at, okay, here's really our market, now we can start to narrow down a price. After we've done that, based upon those comparables, the next thing to take into account is what's available. We've talked a lot over the last couple of weeks about a shortage of inventory, pricing changing a little bit because of that market. So 6 months ago, when those other 4 comparable homes sold, was there 4 to 7 to choose from? And now maybe there's none. Maybe that style of home you're selling, there's now none available active. You might be able to squeeze an extra $4,000 out of that house. And so those are the changes that really take place as we start to narrow down that pricing. And one of the things that I am always telling my sellers and working with people when they call in is we have to act like a buyer when we're pricing property. We have to look at what's on the market right now. We have to put ourselves in the shoes of that buyer and then non-emotionally take a look at, okay, what are the 4 or 5 choices that buyer's going to have and how are we going to rank based upon those choices? So that's kind of my double check at the end of the process as I say, okay, here we are now. What are the alternatives? What else is available if we price at, say, 250? What's available from 245 to 255? And are we the best one in that bracket? And so a lot of that, that's kind of our really basic version of how that pricing strategy goes. And our job is to become unemotional, to provide that unemotional viewpoint about the property. It's really, really hard to do if you're the owner of a property. And that's one of the tools that we bring that make it extremely valuable. In fact, when I'm pricing my personal properties or I'm looking at an investment property, I have another agent in my office double check my work because I'm always afraid that I'm going to become unemotional about a property, or become emotional about a property, and I want to maintain that, you know, unemotional professionalism. So I, even myself, as much as I do, and being in that business, I have to have somebody in my office double check my work to make sure if it's something I'm doing personally that I'm not getting caught up in the property. And so what that does is that allows us to really take that last, like I said, 20 to 30% and really narrow that value down. Now, what does this mean to us personally in real estate in the future and here right now? Because there's a lot of platforms like Zillow and Trulia and New Imaging and HomeViews that are really trying to lower the cost of sale for the consumer and put that into play. I put down that we're trying, the industry's trying to become more transactional. It's trying to make platforms that are easier for the consumers to use, make that process go faster. Tom and I know that there are certain steps in the process with the bank and the appraiser.
Just can't skip them.
That we just can't skip and that are very hard to make transactional. So we're monitoring that constantly. But I think one of the things that it's helping us do is it's helping us increase our time and efficiency. And I think these platforms, we're going to see lower that time to market, time to price, and time to close. You know, a lot of times now when I go to a house, I've already looked at the neighborhood with Google Street View. Like say, it might have been 2 years since that car was through the neighborhood, but it gives me an idea before I go out. So a lot of times when I come out, I've already looked at the neighbor's houses 4 or 5 doors down on each side of the street. I've made those notes. I've priced the property back. When it used to take me maybe 2 visits to a property, a lot of times within an hour or an hour and a half, if somebody is in a rush like that, I can pull that information together, go to the home, and then make minor adjustments when I'm there. So I really think that all of this technology that's coming through is going to increase our speed. But at this point, it's that last human interaction that's getting those details correct that's making a big difference. So those are what we're seeing with these online estimates and with these big websites like Zillow. We love to use them. We like to take the input. They're an important tool, even for us as agents. And with our guidance and help, we're trying to help you navigate what those numbers really mean. And that is, that's what's going on in the world of Zillow and online property estimates. We're still in a fantastically hot market right now. Lots of things moving very, very quickly. I guess literally it's hot outside too, but number of transactions, the market is hot right now. We're working on an extreme large number of transactions and having a record year. So if you have any questions about using those low interest rates to get in as a buyer or selling in this market as we kind of come into our second hot season of the year, will be coming up when we finish up July. As we come in, we usually have a very, very strong August to October. And I think this year is going to be another record for that time period. So if you want to be ready to sell in that time period, go to KenmoreTeam.com. Shoot us a message. Tom, how can people get a hold of you at Umpqua on the mortgage side?
Give me a call at 783-7300 or go to my website, TomCoinHomeLoans.com.
Perfect. And we will be right back here next week.
Right here on News Talk 870.